Okay, according to Mark's eyebrow of come up here, it's time to get up here. So, yes. So, welcome to Glen Arbor. And there'll be other people coming in. And what we're going to do is we're continuing to do prayer as our central focus this time. Let's pray for, this will be supplication. So this will be kind of open prayer. I'll start and finish. And if there's just something we were praying in our prayer meeting earlier this morning, just praying for people. And if there's people you can think of that you would like to pray for, you do that silently or just pray out loud. And just lift those up to the Lord. So I'll start. Lord, we do lift up this time. We lift you up. We praise you. We thank you so much for all that you've done. And I just want to lift up those people at work that I need to share the gospel with. I pray that you would give me opportunities to be doing that. And I lift up their souls to you, Lord. And I just ask that you would, again, give me opportunities to be sharing with them. Amen. Lord, we lift up all that people were thinking about and bring them before you. We ask that you would be working in their lives. And we're in this service this morning and help us to be attentive to what you have for us. Help us to be worshiping you in spirit and truth this morning. As we once again praise you in your name.
Good morning, everyone. Do you know summer is over? It is officially fall. Not this. I wanted to highlight a few announcements for you. Actually, the biggest one is not in the bulletin. We've been talking for 6 months about EduCare coming in and renovating our building, kind of a new opportunity for us to interface with families and have their staff here. And we actually got our construction permit approved late last week. This week, talk about schedule and contracts Tuesday to kind of get happening forward. So I'm thinking about that. I'm probably knowing more people need to get started. No, it was up to me when it started back in July. What I used to do, I used to work in construction and refineries. I was used to money on the table in oil refineries. Find solutions engineers that work quick and easy. But God's timing is better. As I saw this before, I did not see why this is better. Now I realize waiting for something, hoping for something. I thought we could just pray for that. There's a lot of things that still have to happen. God, thank you just for the chance to someone to invest in the facility here and really do things that you can do. Thank you for the chance to their families, with their children, staff working here every day. Did us together. Thank you. A few other announcements. Just a reminder, we do have a prayer meeting before the service every Sunday. We have time to gather with us. Great time to gather together and pray about this. Reminder, we do have flyers for our teen ministry. If there's any teenagers, grab one. Keep it in your car, put it in your house, have it available as soon as you can hand that out. Anyway, that's all the announcements I have for today.
Thank you, music team, for leading us in worship. And we're continuing our Heroes of the Old Testament series, and both men and women throughout the Old Testament. And some of them have done great things, some of them have not. You know, we might think, well, that's not as extraordinary as, for example, killing a giant or so on. But they're regular people doing extraordinary things in extraordinary circumstances. God uses regular people. And there are heroes that you and I don't know about that are from this time period and even amongst us now. But we will know about them one day in heaven. Dean did Noah a couple weeks ago, and that's where we learned how he was in the space program. And no, he's not in the space program. But he stood up when all the world ridiculed him. We learned from Mike last week that Abraham, how he believed the promise and acted, and through his generation came the Jewish nation, and through that Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're going to learn about quite a bit about that. So we're continuing with Isaac, and Isaac really does not do anything we would meetly say is heroic. But he is mentioned in the same phrase very often with Abraham, who the promise came through, and Jacob, by which the promise was fulfilled. So he's part of a line through which God identifies himself, and we're going to learn about that in a little bit. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's why Isaac is in here. He's in the middle. He's Isaac in the middle. And it is Isaac's son, Jacob, who is renamed Israel, and who has the sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. So what is heroic about Isaac? Well, that's what we're going to learn about today. He's about a promise. And so let's pray, because we have a lot of things to go through, and then we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you for Isaac's example. We thank you for him, and thank you for how we can learn practically from him how we are heroes too, in Christ. We just ask you would bless this time, Lord, and use it in your name. Amen. So, you'll need, as part of this, some of the exercises. There's an insert in your bulletin. If you do not have a bulletin, please raise your hand, and my lovely assistant will pass one out. They seem to be all over here where you're not. Oh, Jonathan needs one too. And she will come to you shortly. There is an insert that titled Isaac, and it has a nice graphic of Isaac taking his son away. So we'll get to those in a little bit. So you'll also need Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible, and Jonathan needs one over here, you will be turning to the area of Genesis mostly. Genesis 17 is the first place we're starting. So the first is part of this promise, and this is said to Abraham, but God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. All right, so One of the questions I have for you, so what does the word or what does the name Isaac mean? Who knows? Laughter. Very good. So, Bible scholars, this is the Hebrew text and the Latin text. It's pronounced Jitschak, which doesn't sound like Isaac at all to us. But his name means laughter. And why is that important? Well, Abraham is the first person in the Bible to laugh, be recorded to use this word, laugh. That where he's the first one to laugh. And Job mentions laughter, but he doesn't do it. Abraham actually is the one that performs this function. He's the first one to laugh in the Bible, apparently. I'm sure other people laughed, but it's the first recorded person. And laughter is associated more than just laughter, like for comedy, but laughter associated with great joy and celebration, mostly about laughter because you're happy. So several examples of where this appears is, for example, in this verse, Psalm 126:2, it says, when our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. So many places where laughter is mentioned, joy is also mentioned. So they are said among the nations, Lord has done great things for us. So laughter is associated with lifting up joy and excitement with to the Lord. The second person to laugh that's very famous in the Bible is Sarah. And this is where she does it. And you can turn your Bibles to Genesis 18, starting with verse 9. And I'll read it, but you can follow along. So this is in your Bibles. Genesis 18, 9. This is the angels speaking to Abraham. They visited him on their way to go do some action in Sodom and Gomorrah. Where is Sarah, your wife? They said to him. And he said, there, in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, your Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being so old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Continuing on, a little later, Abraham, this is in Genesis chapter 21, verse 3 through 6. Next year, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Anyone who hears will laugh with me. So Isaac is the first domino in the promise fulfilled. He's the very first action that happens. An incredible birth to people who can't have kids. So who's another kind of person that can't have a kid? Like a virgin shouldn't, right? So Isaac's job here, he's a hero. It's a little bit more than, wow, great Isaac, great job being born. You know, it's a little bit more than that. But he is the beginning. He becomes the connection point between Abraham and Jacob. From Jacob comes the name of Israel and the 12 tribes, as we said before, through which the Messiah comes who takes away the sins of the world. This is the graph that I really like this one. This is, Mike showed this last week. And we're going to kind of zoom in here a little bit. And isn't that a cool graph? I zoomed in. Yeah, so you can see it. Very awesome. So we're zooming in on this particular section. And right here, this is Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac, here's our hero. And then there's Jacob and the rest. So here is, we're listing all the 12 tribes, all that you see in red. So, and from Judah is where is the lineage of Jesus. So the Lion of Judah. So that is where Isaac kind of comes in here, and he's again the beginning in a sense of that promise. So he's the bridge in what we'll call the identification of God. Why is that? Why is that important? It's the start of the promise. So in Hebrews 11:8, it says, "By faith." This section, by the way, Hebrews 11 is called the kind of the hallway of heroes, or the hall of faith. This is where many of the Old Testament heroes are mentioned, and in kind of a single chapter. And in Hebrews, Paul is talking about, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Mike talked a lot about this last time. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs in the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So Isaac becomes the first fellow heir in this promise. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? So here's kind of a practical, and this is where we're going to get into that sheet that I passed out. So here's thinking about yourself. So you might say, well, you know, Isaac got born. He became part of the promise. Well, you guys, we got born, I presume. And we're here, and so we're now also fellow heirs in that promise. We're not the first ones, but we are part of that promise. And here's a verse that talks about that in Ephesians 3:4. By referring to this, when you read, you cannot understand my insight into the mystery of... You can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. Previous generations, they didn't know what this really was going to mean, as it had been now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It is not about good a job being born. It is about inherent value because of who we are now in Christ. This promise started with Isaac, as we are heirs as well because of God's promise to Abraham. That is the promise we adhere and trust in, take courage in, take faith in, and having blessing in. So let's turn to our little page here. So what I'd like you to do is, and on your sheet, and if there's pencils in front of you, if you don't have a pencil, take your sheet and just write down something. Write down who you are in Christ, just to yourself. You don't have to write it down, but just think about, who am I in Christ? Just take a moment to do that. So you might have written down something like, I am an ambassador, for example. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I am a child of God. Whatever that might be, you were adopted into that promise because of your acceptance in Jesus Christ. And because of that, as Isaac was, we considered him a hero, but he became part of the promise. In the same way, you became part of the promise. So you are a hero in Christ by adoption. By adoption. So, in a sense, whatever, I am an ambassador for Christ, for example, that makes, we can say, not in a hero in a sense of, oh yeah, I, you know, go out and save the world from itself or in something that way, but we are an ambassador and a hero in this mission, in this promise, in what he has for us, in his army, in his congregation, in his church. We are inherently by adoption a hero. So I'll let you think about that, and you can write other things down and say, think, wow, that if that's true for Isaac, then that can be true for me. I'm a hero in Christ by adoption. So that's part of the promise, the start of the promise. And now we'll talk about courage in the promise. This is Isaac, I think, being proud. Oh, those were the things I just went through. So let's turn to Genesis 22. And having courage in the promise, these are the verses we're going to go through. So in Genesis 22:1, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one of the mountains of which, on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. And the little image on your insert is a picture of this happening. So here's where Isaac gets involved. So Isaac goes with him, right? And he says, we're going to go, let's go, we're going to sacrifice. We're going to go sacrifice in the mountain. Okay, father. So Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So this might be considered pretty deceptive. You know, he didn't say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to offer you, and so why don't we just come along and they'll be okay. You know, so I'm sure that, I'm not sure what would have happened. So he doesn't tell his son directly that, you know, doesn't tell him the truth. This does end, as we know, this is what ends up happening, but he knows that, or he is just outright deceptive with his son. So he does not tell him that he is going to get to be the lamb. So there's a lot of parallels here to Christ, what happens to Christ. God will provide the lamb for himself. That's exactly what he did with Christ. Christ is called the Lamb of God. Christ is God's son, and he actually carried out this sacrifice with his son for us, right? So that, in Abraham's example, it was abated, but in God's example, it was not. So it parallels very well with what was about to, with what happened in the future, with the promise, with the actual promise of Christ. So, and they came to a place of which, this is verse 9 now, they came to a place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, I would think Isaac at this point would know, hey, something's going on here. You know, wait a minute. I don't think there is another lamb here. I think we don't see the conversation that's happening or probably maybe the anguish that was going on. They just kind of did it. We don't know if there's any other conversation, but Isaac does not appear to struggle, so he has got to, at this point, know what's happening. And what I think is amazing here is it appears he accepts this, and maybe Abraham tells what he believes will happen. And so he says, okay, let's do it. You know, let's, switching to back to Hebrews, this is back to that section, the Hall of Faith. By faith, Abraham, this is Hebrews 11:17, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. So here, Paul is drawing this parallel as well. And it was he to whom he was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back. So this is a very interesting statement here. So Abraham still believes God, even though first this is his only son whom he managed to have at a very old age, but then God wants him to sacrifice him. It goes against the law of what God has told him before, right? Because sacrificing people was wrong, but God obeys it. And so does Isaac. That's interesting. Isaac is also has kind of a little bit of what we call skin in the game here. He let it happen. I think if Isaac wanted to, he could have probably overpowered a 100-year-old guy pretty easily. But he didn't. Going back to our section, but Genesis 22:11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, this is now to Abraham, and said, "Abraham, Abraham," he said, "Here I am. Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So Isaac was committed to do this. Isaac did not withhold his own life and became a child of the promise as well. This courage of faith, as his father had, was also, I think, in Isaac. He believed God against the odds. He believed God in this promise too. So I think this is what makes Isaac here, at least this particular section does, because this is what makes him really part of this. He believed it too. He let it happen. He let it happen. So for you, there's a practical here. Have you ever had to really put your trust in God? You can think about this. You can think about a time like that. Have you ever had to really put your trust in God? Was there ever a last-ditch effort where he asked you to do something or you needed to do something because you felt compelled to do the right thing even though you were afraid? This is one of my favorite verses. Whenever I feel like this, is the one I go to, 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I know whom I have believed. And this is very important to me because it is much more than a belief. I know the ethereal kind of God that's out there. I know about him. He's kind of a cosmic out there guy. It's not what I know. I know him. It is a personal relationship with him. And because of our experiences together, it's like, wow, I feel like when we get into heaven, it's like, God, remember when we did this together? Remember that? I remember when you put me through that. Boy, I really hated that. But now I'm so glad you did. You know, one of the things that's... And that's funny. I was talking to my wife on the phone. She's in Napa. Right now she is taking care of her parents. And today is our 23rd wedding anniversary, which is... Yeah, woohoo! So she was very afraid if I mentioned that I would say something bad. So... I'm not saying for the recording. I am not currently saying something bad. So, but one of the things I remember trusting in the Lord for is what I was getting to be about 29, 30. And when you get to be 29, 30, you start questioning yourself. It's like, oh, okay, there's no one really out there for me. And so I said, Lord, I remember having this very phrase. Is that, Lord, whoever you bring will have to come out of left field, which apparently is New Jersey. So that the Lord kind of brought her out, a girl from California that went to school in New Jersey and met here in Chicago and was working together. He brought us together, and that was something that I really trusted and had to trust in the Lord for, rather than do it myself. You know, try to do something on my own. And maybe you've done the same thing. I'm sure there's something in the same way you've done that, and that has built your relationship with him. And that's what Isaac did. And so in your bulletin, in your insert, look at the question here. So this time, in what things have I trusted the Lord in and he has delivered? Maybe in what thing rather than things. What is there been something that you're maybe currently trusting the Lord in, or you have trusted him and he has delivered? Why don't you write that down? Okay. So whatever that might be, whether it might be for a spouse or for it might be to work in ministry or healing, the many, many things that we have to trust the Lord for and that we pray for in the morning, we pray for here. And because He has delivered, because of who we know we trust in, we stand in that. We're heroes in Christ because of courage. We believe in Him. We have faith in Him, and we stand there and let the knife come to our throat. Have you ever felt that before? We let it come really close, and then we're still trusting. We're still trusting. We're a hero in Christ because of courage. All right. Next is faith in the promise. This is another thing Isaac did. So, this is back in Genesis again, 26. So Abraham and Isaac obeyed the Lord in keeping the lineage within the promise. He waited and took Rebekah as his wife. He waited from a relative, Laban, who you saw in the... And he gives Jacob trouble later, and you'll learn about that next week. Laban, and he's involved in a lot of giving of wives, apparently. That's his job. But so we learn in Genesis 26, 3-5, after this, he's and that's a great story, but for this purpose of this, we're going to kind of skip that. So sojourn in this land, this is to Isaac, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heavens, and will give you unto you your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall be all the nations of my earth. Of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So this is him, God talking now to Isaac. So basically the same promise is continuing through Isaac. He says, this is now yours. You're it. And this is three-part promise that's happening here. So that his seed would be innumerable, that his Isaac's seed would possess the land, and in his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, we're familiar with a lot of these promises. So the nation of Israel was born. That formed the nation that still exists today. All nations are blessed because of Christ the Messiah, who came through Israel and is a direct lineage to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God established the covenant with Isaac because his father, Abraham, obeyed and followed God. And again, in their dual component of physical blessing and spiritual blessing, and through him would come the lineage that produced Jesus Christ. And this includes the Gentile bloodlines, into the Gentile bloodlines. And continuing on, yes, verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So there's the promise again. This is promise number 4, that I will bless you and multiply your seed for Abraham's sake. A promise that Isaac's seed would be blessed because of Abraham. Isaac acted in accordance with the promise and moved and did whatever the Lord told him to do. He believed the Lord and had faith in him, just like Abraham. Now, if you really look at what Isaac did, he basically moved from what went to the place that God told him and lived out his life. There's probably a lot of other things that happened, but he went to some place that he didn't want to go. Have you ever been to a place that you didn't want to go, that the Lord has sent you? So the practical here is there something now that you are believing the Lord for? Do you have a promise for it? When we came, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary. Of course, I'm supposed to plug in. We have free mugs this week only. You know, so. And there's some pictures of there, some people that were in the church very early on. And so a lot of people came, left their homes, left East Lansing, left Champaign, left Purdue, and other places, and came here to start a new life, to start a church. And in a land we did not know. I had never been to Chicago before I came here. And I didn't know what the Lord had for us here. I just heard there were gangsters in Chicago. That's all I knew. So, from what I saw in the movies. So, but we were believing that the Lord would do something there. So, was there something now that you're believing the Lord for? And do you have a promise for it? You see, this keeps going on at an individual level, this promise. So, like, for example, a promise for me is, you know, how many of you are getting older? Robin is not. She is in stasis. She's in stasis. She's not getting older. Everyone's getting older, right? So some of us are past that halfway mark, and our bodies are failing. And we pray about that every morning. And I promise, I believe in, is that we'll get new bodies and new homes when the Lord comes. This is a verse that suggests, that talks about that. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. So that's a promise that I believe in. I know that one day that will happen. And I need it to happen, right? Because there's things that are breaking down. Is there something you're believing the Lord for? And do you have a promise for it? Why don't you write that down on your sheet? I'll give you a few moments to do that. I will be warm again. All right. So, whatever that is that you are believing the Lord for, and your promise, you have faith in that, because that you do not currently have. You don't know that it's going to happen. I am a hero in Christ because of faith, right? Because of what you believe, who you believe in. I know whom I have believed. I have faith in that, that's going to happen. That's why I placed my eternal security in Christ my Lord. That's what makes you a hero in Christ, because of faith. Last thing is the blessing in the promise. And this is the last Genesis verse that I'm going to read from Genesis 27. And this is where Isaac now is very old, and a very important thing that he does is he gives the blessing. Gives a blessing. Now, he has two sons. One's Esau and Jacob. Esau appears many, many times in crossword puzzles, because that's where E, S, and A and U appear in that level. But I noticed that quite a bit. And he said, "Are you really my son, Esau?" And it's really Jacob is there. And he says, "I am." And so a lot of deception goes on in his family. So he said, "Bring it to me, being the food, and I will eat it in my son's game, that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate. He also brought with him wine and drank, and he drank. And his father Isaac told him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." Remember, Isaac's blind at this point, so he can't see anything. So he has to. He believes that the person who's talking to him is actually Esau, but it's Jacob. So he came close and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments, and he blessed him. And he said, "Ah, yes, see the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." And you want to start off with your dad, and he goes, "You smell like a field. Thanks. Now may God," there's the promise, here's the blessing, "now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and bless those who bless you." And this blessing has stayed with Israel all along. Any nation that has stood against them has not done well. If you look at history on this, we don't have time to get into that. Isaac is blessed based on his faith in the Lord. He blessed based on what he was and what the Lord said would happen. He's been through a lot on that. And we go back to our Hebrews 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. He knew what was coming. Isaac became part of the identifier that God used for himself. And this to me is really interesting and exciting. So here we have these are the things he became part of the promise. He had courage in the promise. He had faith in the promise, and then he blessed based on that faith, and which is where the nation of Israel came from. So he is definitely honored, and several times, this is just a few examples of this, but we see he is in the promise that God uses him as an identifier for himself. He says, so God heard their groaning, this is in Exodus, and God remembered his covenant with not just Abraham, but with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you guys, you'll start triggering in your mind, it's like, oh yeah, there's this verse and this verse and this verse that say this very same phrase, or the three are always held together, right? So in Exodus again, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jacob. And Moses sitting facing him is afraid to look at God. So he's identified by, I am the God of these three guys. Oh, yes. Then this is just in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's also used. So, I will say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So now this promise is continuing, right? It's these three guys, right? So Isaac, even though he's in the middle, he's one of the three that's identifier for God. And then lastly, and again, this is one of many examples, 33 examples of this. I am the God of, this is God talking, I am the God of Abraham. God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Notice he says not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So what does that mean for us? God, Christ also identifies himself with us. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. So in this verse here, for example, but in John 10, 26 through 28, he says the same thing about us. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We're also called the bridegroom. So we're the bridegroom, or we're the bride, excuse me, and he is the bridegroom. All part of this original promise coming to bear. All of this is together. So Christ identifies himself with you. This is the last little exercise they have. Do you identify yourself with him? That's, why don't you write down what your thoughts are on that really quick. Christ identifies himself with you. Do you identify yourself with him? If you identify yourself with him, you're a hero in Christ because you are his property, his in a sense, he has purchased you with his blood. And if you feel like you don't know if you identify yourself with him, let's talk to me afterwards and we'll get that corrected, Lord. You can choose to identify yourself with him. So with that, these are the things that we've talked about. Remember, he was the start of the promise. He had courage in the promise. He had faith in the promise. The courage was when he allowed himself to be possibly sacrificed. He had faith in the promise because he went where he did not want to go, and then he blessed in that promise. And all of those things make also, because that passed on, he was a hero then, you're a hero now because of those things that we just talked about. So this is a verse that just remembers that how he was called. So let's pray, and then we'll have the music team come up. Lord, thank you that we're heroes because of our identity in you, not because of anything we've done ourselves, but because of whom you've made us, who we became. We became children of the living God, ambassadors for you, ones that had faith, and ones who are continuing in the blessing. And we just thank you so much for this time as you bless the rest of the service as well. Help us to be heroes, not just in name, but in action. By your grace, and in your name we pray.